And now as we turn to our lesson from God's Word, let's invite the Holy Spirit's presence in our reading through our prayer for illumination. Lord God, at the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the waters. So send your Spirit to us now to open our hearts and minds to receive the recreating power of your Word through Christ. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today comes to us from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, reading verses 1 all the way through chapter 2, the first part of verse 4. Hear now the word of the Lord.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God sent them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, kids, it's time for our children's sermon, and today we have a video from Mr. Hank. So thanks for sending it in.
It's good to see you again. I'm sure someone has ever told you at some point to be creative. Maybe a teacher, maybe your parents, but someone has told you, do something creative. Make a drawing, make a picture, be creative. So what does that mean actually, to be creative? Well, we use our imagination and we get an idea, and then we use our skills to make something new that didn't exist before. So that picture that you made, that didn't exist at all in the world before you made it. You created it. So, for example, look at this. Let's see, can you see this? Right there in the picture, a bunch of Lego bricks. They don't have any shape, they're just a bunch of bricks, right? Loose bricks. Now, I have to be careful that I don't lose them, because they're not mine, and this is not my creation, but you can put something together from Lego bricks. Look at this. A cute tiny little chair and a cute tiny little table for many people, right? Creative. Or if you get some wool, there you go, look. Wool is just a string, right? Doesn't have any shape. It's just made into a big ball. You can use it and make something of it. For example, a hat. That will keep your head warm in the winter. It'll keep your head warm in the summer too, but now I don't need it, so I'm going to take it off. So that's creative, right? We are able to create things. Now, why is that important? Why is it important to be creative? Well, if you look at the beginning of the Bible, which is the story for today, the very first chapter in the Bible, it tells us that God created. God used his imagination, I suppose, and created everything that we see. It tells us that over 6 days, God spread it out and every day made something. For example, one day he made lights in the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars. Another day, birds and fishes. And then on the final day, he made human beings. You know, if you read that passage, which you maybe should do today, if you can, or help your parents. You can ask your parents for help to do that. But the beautiful thing is that every day when God was done, he took a step back and looked at his the day's creation and said that it was good, very good. And so that's today's lesson. Today's lesson is that God's creation is good. And we are part of God's creation. Human beings are part of God's creation. We are good. God said that his creation, God's creation, is good. So, remember, every day this week when you meet somebody else, that doesn't matter who, that person, just like you, has been created by God and is therefore valuable and good. Now, to finish up today, I won't pray, but I have a song for you that we're going to show, and it will help you to remember that God created everything, all creatures, great and small. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Hank, for sending that in to us. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think this might have been one of the first verses of scripture that I ever memorized as a kid in Sunday school. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I was probably, preschool or so at the time. So for the better part of over 30 years, I have been hearing that verse and studying that verse. And I was talking with Bob before the service today, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out which one is the big inning. Is it the first inning? Is it the ninth inning? The seventh inning stretch? Maybe extra innings? Those are the big innings? That's a great joke. I'm sure that everyone out in Facebook land is lighting up with glee and delight at such an amazing joke. Seems funny to focus in on such a word. You might say, Pastor Chris, you're missing the point. Well, that happens a lot with Genesis 1. I think we miss the point a lot with Genesis 1. I remember being in seminary, and when you're in seminary, you have to sit before your classes, the local area ministers and elders, and be examined in different areas. And one of the areas that you're examined in is Old Testament. And so I remember sitting with the examiner and being concerned that my response to the question, was the world created in 7 days, was not going to be suitable. Because a lot has been made in the history of the church about whether the earth is created in 7 literal 24-hour days or not. And I know a few decades ago, there would be pastors that might not be allowed to continue if they didn't say, yes, these are literal 24-hour days. But to ask such questions of Genesis 1, I think, misses the point of what's happening in this text. We take one of these beautiful poetic images of God speaking creation into being, and we start to want to examine it literally and say, well, if it doesn't mean 7 24-hour periods, then none of Scripture is true, and we should all throw it out. But let's think about the context of Genesis 1. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are ancient Israel. I want you to imagine that you have been taken away from your home. You've been carried off into a foreign land, a land where you are forced to worship other gods. That you know God to be one true God. You know that God to be a creator. You know that God to be the God who delivered your people from their slavery in Egypt. And yet you're in this culture where they believe, and they're trying to force you to believe that there are many gods, and that there are different gods participating in the creation of the world, and the creation of the world is accidental, that it's a byproduct of some ancient war between the gods. And you, as a human being, are merely a pawn in the overall life of this pantheon of gods. There's no intentionality behind you in what you are doing today. And if the gods decided that they didn't need you anymore, or if you hadn't worshipped them in the right way, or you hadn't offered sacrifices, they can, like a little ant, flick you off the face of the earth, and no one will ever remember that you even existed. Well, isn't that a cheery story? But that's the idea that so many different cultures throughout history have had about the creation of the world. And you're in the midst of this kind of chaotic situation, and you don't know what is going to happen next. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Well, we can probably relate to that a little bit, right? Our chaotic world that we find ourselves in. As if pandemic isn't bad enough, and as if racial tensions and injustice isn't bad enough, and as if terrorism in other places isn't bad enough. Now you have wildfires and other kinds of natural disasters, and often life can seem chaotic, out of control. And you might think to yourself, is there any point to all of this? Is there any purpose to all of this? That is the thought that gives birth to this litany of praise to God the Creator in Genesis 1. We find that when God began to create the heavens and the earth was void and formless, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters of this kind of watery chaos. And then God says, "Let there be light." And there's light. And there's darkness. And there's evening and there's morning, the first day. And God says, "Let there be an expanse that separates the waters above from the waters below." And the expanse is called sky, and the water below is called sea, and there's evening and there's morning, the second day. And God says, "Let the waters separate for dry land to form and vegetation to grow on the dry land, trees and flowers and grass." And there's evening and there's morning, the third day. And in the first 3 days of creation, as God has created spaces for other things, on day four, God separates the light into sun and moon and stars, populating this light that was created on day one. And on day five, God creates birds for the air and fish for the sea to populate that which was created on day two of the creation, sky and sea. And on day six, God creates creatures to crawl on the land and walk on the land and eat the vegetation that is created on day three of creation. God sets out with a plan for what God is going to do. And God boldly and orderly and lovingly creates, bringing order to the chaos that is present. And not only that, but then God creates, as part of the living creatures on the land, God creates humankind in God's image, male and female, and God gives them a purpose, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth, have dominion over the earth, care for the earth, be sharing in this creation." And it was so. And each day, God stands back and looks at what God has created and says, "This is good." And on day six, after humankind is created and after the creatures are created and after all of the spaces are occupied, God stands back and looks and says, "This is very good." That's a story of a God who acts with intention. You and I are not accidents of creation, some incidental thing that happened because a couple of gods were angry at each other. In fact, the one God, the same God, creates everything and cares for everything. And then on the seventh day, as God looks and sees all that has been created, God rests from his creation, thereby giving creation the gift of rest as well. this litany of praise to a God who creates and brings order in the midst of chaos is exactly the faith statement that a people who are mired in chaos and uncertainty need for the living of our lives. Not as some sort of a scientific treatise, because scientifically it doesn't follow, right? If you were to take a look at a picture of what ancient cosmology looks like, it's a lot different from what science has shown to us in terms of the way that evolution takes place, in terms of the way that life adapts. But this is a faith statement of the people of Israel saying that our God is a God who in the act of creation brings order to what seems chaotic. And that if that's true, that if that's who God is, then God can bring order to the chaos that is present in the world that we live in my life. I remember when the movie Jurassic Park came out. It was one of my favorite movies about genetically engineered dinosaurs, right? And a park that opens up and it opens before it's ready. Not saying that's a commentary on, you know, society in the age of coronavirus. There's not a T-Rex that's going to jump out and bite you if you open too soon, I don't think. But Jeff Goldblum, in the only way that Jeff Goldblum can say things, as Dr. Ian Malcolm points out, that life always finds a way, and he describes chaos theory. So one of the amazing things about chaos theory is that, you know, that chaotically life goes about until some order is found. But even in the midst of chaos theory, if you get high enough away from being down in the chaos, you can see patterns and order begin to form even in the midst of what appears to be chaotic. It's fascinating stuff if you like to read those kind of scientific treatises. Go out and take a look at chaos theory. It's very interesting. But the takeaway from it is that in the midst of what looks to be chaos, in a very small way, if you are able to expand your view, if you can get on the balcony, so to speak, if you can get to 50,000 feet and look down, what seemed chaotic close up actually has an order to it. Because God created the world to be good and to be orderly. It's our human sin that's messed things up. What we find in Genesis chapter 3 is a man and a woman who are created in God's image who decide to take matters into their own hands in acquiring wisdom for themselves, and in doing so, alienate their relationship with God, their creator, who used to stroll with them in the garden. And in that sin, the creation turns on them. That's what happens for us as well. That we abuse creation, right? We are called by God in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 2 to be fruitful and multiply and care for the earth. And the way that we care for the earth is by squeezing every last drop out of it for our own good, as we might call it. And then we react with surprise when creation turns against us. When we overpopulate the earth and when we send too many greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, and then we're surprised with these wild shifts in weather. We have ourselves to blame for the ways that we have failed to live up to the call that God has given us. We are created in God's image, called by God to be co-creators in the world that has been created, to be caretakers. And we've fallen short. We've fallen short. But that doesn't change who God is. And God didn't just create the world and then abandon it. How do we know that? John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I think it's beautiful that God speaks creation into being with the Word, and John identifies the Word as Jesus, and the Spirit of God is teeming over the waters, and we find that God in relationship is present in the beginning, forming the earth out of a sense of relationship with a sense of purpose for relationship. And that God longs for that relationship to continue. Not as a watchmaker who builds the watch and sets it in motion and then walks away, but instead a God who is intimately involved in our lives, who cares about us, who cares what we do, who cares about who we are and whether or not we are following God's call in our lives. This is the God that we worship. This is what it means for God to be the Creator. And so, my friends, when we worship God as Creator, when we read these flowing words, when we sing these songs about how God created, about how God has the world in His hands, about how God is present, about how all things now living unite in thanksgiving and sing this praise to God. All of these things are a reminder to us of the God who calls us to participate in creation. Not just to be fruitful and multiply, but also to bear fruit in caring for God's creation. And in this time when we can see the way that creation does not always respond favorably to us, it's a reminder to us of the importance of taking that call to care for creation seriously. My prayer for us individuals and as a church is that we would do our part and play our role to be full participants in caring for this good creation, a gift to us, a responsibility as well. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, thank You for the gift of creation and for the way that Your Spirit and the way that Your Son all participate together in helping to raise our awareness of our responsibility as it pertains to this creation. We pray that we would take it seriously, that we would be mindful of the way that we live in caring for what you created and have entrusted to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is one of the ancient ecumenical creeds of the church passed down through the ages, in the words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.